Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to say thank you for listening to me this morning. You don't have any choice, but thank you anyway. Now, I thought it's only fair, as I've kind of walked in the door, not many of you know me, that I should give you a little bit about myself. I was born in Coventry, which is a city in the middle of England. I went to the University of Bradford, which is a city in Yorkshire, and then moved to Sheffield, and lived there I've lived there now for 18 years. I'm married to Paul, who's currently working at the Royal Jubilee Hospital, and I have a daughter called Grace, who's 13, who got baptised 2 weeks ago in Durance Lake. I've had several different jobs in my life. Most of them have been office work, administration. And then after coming out of work, I've spent the past 5 years studying theology, and I've just finished ordination training in the Church of England. So next June, when I leave Victoria, I'll be ordained. I was 21 when I became a Christian. And I've had several different church roles within the church. But most recently, I spent a couple of years in a church army project where I worked with, I'm not sure what the politically correct phrase is here, but worked with women who work on the street, in other words, prostitutes. And that's really where my heart was happy. So that's a little bit about the practical side of me. If you get to know me, that you'll realise that I'm a very open person. I'll talk to you about my life, if you'll listen. What you see and what you hear today is me. You won't get a tiny little snippet. You won't get a well-practiced, articulate version of me. What you see is what you get. So I can't promise you a well-constructed theological study from a very well-written script. But what I can promise you is that what I speak to you today will come from my heart, and it will come from prayer and reflection on what God wants to say to us this morning. I come with no other agenda other than to speak God's word to God's people. And I can't think of a better place to start than with the greatest commandment. Jesus has asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Now, it's really important to remember at this moment that the Israelites were used to hundreds, and I mean hundreds, of commandments. Commandments are offerings, sacrifices, how to act, what to eat, what not to eat, when to work, when to rest. So Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Then at this moment, he decides to give the second commandment. Now, Jesus was only asked for one, the most important, but he thought he'd just throw this one in as well, because actually this is the second commandment, but this is really important too. So he just kind of threw it in there. And he spoke directly from Deuteronomy and Leviticus, the two books in the Old Testament that are just jam-packed full of commandments and rules. So he's not making this stuff up. He's not creating this whole new thing that they're not familiar with. And he's not disregarding the law that they've come with. In fact, he's confirming it, he's quoting it, and he's consolidating it into two short sentences. All the ritual in the world is useless if you do not first love God and then love others. Now, at this moment, we should all be feeling very positive. That's great. We don't have to follow hundreds and hundreds of rules and commandments. All we have to do is love God and love other people. But actually, what I want to say is maybe actually not quite as simple as it sounds. First of all, loving your neighbour. Now, I know my husband will agree with this. Even before we stepped foot onto Victoria, we have been loved by so many people here. Victoria has got loving your neighbour really, really well. We have had so many things done for us. We've had so much support and love. We've made the most wonderful friends. It's just, you guys have got it sorted, pretty much. Now, I'd like to think that I'm quite an easy person to get on with, relatively easy maybe. And it's quite simple to love your neighbour when they're easy to get on with, when they're a nice person. It kind of comes quite naturally to most people. But it's not so easy to do when someone's not quite so simple, when someone's a little bit difficult. And I remember when I worked in the house, we have a drop-in house for the ladies who work on the street, and some days it was so easy to love them. We would sit and we would listen to their stories, and we would pray with them if we had the opportunity, and they hugged us and they loved us and we loved them back, and it was just so simple. And they were so thankful for all that we could do for them because they didn't experience love anywhere else. But then some days we'd have the knock on the door, we'd open it, they'd come in, they would be absolutely full of drugs, they'd be swearing, they would be impatient, they'd be sitting there, we'd be cooking them a meal and they're just waiting for us to give them the clothes that they want and the toiletries that they want so they can get out there and get where they want to do, and they'll swear at us. And then they'll walk out the door and then we'll realise after all that effort that they've stolen from us. Now at that moment, loving them was hard. It was really hard. Now that's quite an extreme example, but I'm sure everybody in this room can think of somebody who's a little bit difficult to love. The second problem is, well, loving God and loving your neighbour is easy to do when everything's great. When you're feeling strong, when you're feeling close to God, when we've got loads and loads of faith and everything's wonderful. But actually, life's not always like that. Life is hard and we struggle. And sometimes it's really hard to love. I remember a time several years ago when we decided it was about time that Grace had a little brother or a sister. And so after 2 years of trying, after 2 years of prayers, our own prayers, our friends' prayers, prayers at church, and hospital tests, and some treatment, we finally got the news that we were looking for. I was pregnant. Oh my goodness, I was overjoyed. God's answered my prayer. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Oh God, I love you so much. And then after 11 weeks of the most horrendous morning sickness, I suffered a miscarriage. And I went into practical mode and I tried to ignore it and I moved on with life and I looked after Grace and I smiled and chatted with people and tried to give my heart to everybody and love my neighbour. But actually inside I was broken. And I was angry. I hoped and I prayed for 2 years. Other people had prayed. I'd got my answer. So what was going on? How could God let this happen? Why? Why did this happen? At that moment, loving God, well, that kind of felt a little bit impossible. I could sing songs. I could recite the Lord's Prayer. I could make all the right movements at the right time. But I couldn't actually love God. I was angry and I was broken. And I couldn't love other people. My friends would be telling me the good news of their pregnancies and they were having babies and the church was bursting at the seams with new children. And what I needed to do was be loving and take meals and celebrate and support. And what I felt was frustrated and hurt and, oh great. But the first commandment gives a little bit of a clue, or quite a big clue, on how we love God in these circumstances. How do we do it? With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Well, that's everything, isn't it? That's every single bit of us. It's how we feel, it's how we think, it's every single inch of us and every drop of energy that we have. That means that we love God with whatever it is that we have. If we're feeling blessed and thankful and full of joy, then we love God with all of that. And if we feel drained and sad and angry and we're struggling, then we love God with that too. My heart was broken. My soul was smashed. My mind was angry and confused. And my strength was pretty much zero. And so eventually, at one point, I took my broken heart and my smashed soul and my anger and my confusion, and I used all the energy I could possibly muster, and I turned to God. Because that's all I had. I turned to God and say, God, I love you. No. I got angry and I shouted at him. I gave him everything I had, but I gave it to him. I held on to him with the little bit I had left. And now when I look back, I realised that he listened to my anger and he heard my cry. And he began to heal my wounds. He refreshed my soul with a new passion. Now, 9 years on, I still have moments. You know, I'm not standing here as this perfect healed person. I don't have a second child. We had to accept that this just wasn't going to happen for us. And so, you know, most of the time that's fine. But I still get angry and I still get frustrated and confused. But what I realise is I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to have it all sorted in order to love God. And what is loving God? Well, loving God is turning to him in all things. It's giving him our undivided attention. It's even trying to be the tiniest little bit thankful, even if there isn't much to be thankful for. And we do this with everything that we have, no matter how small or weak that might feel. We can't give more than we are. It's impossible. You only have to look through the Psalms to see writers screaming out to God, "Where are you? What is going on? Why are these things happening to me? Why do people hate me? Why have you walked away from me?" But how do I know that they still love God at that moment? Well, because they're telling God, because they turn to him. And the best news of all of this is even before that moment where we love God with whatever it is, well, he's already loved us first. So then that takes us to loving our neighbour. Well, unfortunately, there are no excuses. We don't get to turn away and not bother. My life's hard enough. Why should I have to help anybody else out? There's no escaping the fact that God requires us to love others. It's the second greatest commandment. Jesus had to mention it, even though he wasn't asked for it. But loving God is the number one commandment, which means that we do this first. We go to God with all we have. And then God loves us with all he is. Except that God's love never diminishes, never gets tired. It's unfathomably big, and we can only try to understand how wide and long and high and deep that it is. And so we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, whatever that is. And he loves us with all of him. And his love is sufficient for us to be able to take that love to other people. He'll fill the gaps. He'll give us strength when we're weak. He will restore our souls. He will mend our hearts, and he'll give us wisdom beyond anything that we can get anywhere else. And we can take this love and we can love our neighbours in a way that's right for them. With the heart, the soul, the mind and the strength that God has given to us. And loving your neighbour is not about sentimental, fuzzy, warm feelings to each other. It's about giving each other time and attention. It's about doing things for the good of others. And dare I say it, you don't even have to like people to love them. We can love those who are easy to love and easy to spend time with, and then we can also love those who are difficult. And right there, in that moment, when we turn to God with whatever it is that we have, that's where you find the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know your circumstances today. I don't know how your lives are. I don't know if your heart is full or whether your heart is broken. I don't know if your strength is great or it's weak. Whether your mind is full of thanks and praise or whether it's full of hurts and anger. I don't know how your soul is today. But whatever you are today, and with every last little bit that is in you, turn to God and love him with it. Jesus challenges us with this message. Love others and love God. But he also gives us the hope that we can do this in any circumstances, no matter what our lives are. Come to God with everything, and he's going to love us first. So I'm just going to ask you for one more thing this morning. When you're invited to come to the table to receive the bread and the wine, come to the table just as you are. Not a version of yourself, not a persona, but as yourself. Come to the table not because you feel your heart, your soul, your mind and your strength is good enough, but in spite of how that feels. Come and receive the unfathomable love that God has in store for you. And come with your neighbour, as a community, together, receiving love as one body. Amen.